Welcome to this message from the campuses of Charter Oak Church. This week we're moving on to week 5 in the series, What Difference Does Easter Make? And the message, In My Struggles. Because of Easter, we know what it means to persevere through difficult times. Jesus suffered through one of the most grueling punishments in death. He experienced everything that we experience. The way we look at and experience struggles is redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here's your campus pastor.
I'll tell you what, it's good to be back. Last week, my family was on vacation, and so if you're aware of that and you prayed for us, thank you. What we did is we went to the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter, and if you have never heard of that, I would highly recommend you look into it. If you've heard of it and are interested, I'll just tell you, it is worth the trip, and it's great to see God's Word kind of come to life. So I'd highly recommend it. If you have any questions, definitely ask. And so after that, last week, we shot up to northern Michigan, where both of Janelle and my parents live, and so we got to see family. And so again, thank you for your prayers. Now, every once in a while, we have an urgent prayer request that we just want to be able to share with you in this church body. One of the staff members at Charter Oak Church, her name is Bonnie Scalamogia, she is the director of family ministries. She's had a huge impact on Charter Oak Church. She's been fighting cancer for several years, and about a year ago, it got into her bones, and so she's been fighting the good fight. And recently, just a couple days ago, she was sent to the hospital and is just under immense pain. And so the simple prayer request is that we will be praying for her family, and what we have ultimate hope and trust in is that our sovereign God will heal her. It might be on earth, it might be in heaven, but we know healing will happen. And so we are just praying for Bonnie during this season and her family, and I ask that you join. Join in prayer even now and throughout this week as we just pray for her. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for what you have done in Bonnie's life. She has been an amazing testimony in my own life, and those who know her, I know, are just pleading with you that you'll give her grace during this time. You'll give her endurance during the battle that she's in, and that you can relieve some of the intense pain that she's been under day and night. So God, we thank you that we as a church can join together and lift her up, and we ask that you'll be just with her family and just the journey they are in during this process. And we continue to pray to you, our Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and in your sovereign plan, we know that healing will come in your time. And to that, we give great praise. In all things, we want to give the name of Jesus ultimate respect and know that you will work through this in the way you have planned. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we conclude, we're in the final series, the final message of the series, What Difference Does Easter Make? And let's just be reminded, I shouldn't really have to remind us, but Easter, the day that happened thousands of years ago, is the biggest day on both earth and heaven. It's why we can celebrate continually Easter. It's not just one day where we go collect eggs. It's so much more than that. And so in this series, we've talked about Easter and how it impacts our eternity, our faith walk, our marriage, and last week, our family. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Nathan Anderson for delivering the word. And it is such a blessing to have several guys in the ministry, people that can deliver the word in a very impactful way. So thank you, Nathan. You're a rock star, and I appreciate you so much. Now, today, I'll just be honest, we're going to be discussing a very difficult topic, one that many of us might have a different view on. And so we're going to open God's word. We're going to go straight at it and have an understanding of truly what God says. And that is, how can Easter make a difference in our struggles? We're going to be in the book of James, and many of us might not know some of the background about James. So I'm going to ask a little dialogue here, just to have an understanding, a brief understanding of the direction we're going. So first of all, does anyone know who wrote the book of James? Shout it out if we know. Who wrote James? James. Okay, that's a good start. Second, How is he related to Jesus? Do we know that? Who could tell me? Brother, okay? He's a half-brother. So both Mary and Joseph raised Jesus, but Joseph made Jesus, or James, okay? So the virgin birth makes Mary an amazing person, but Jesus is who we're talking about. During the process of Mary and Joseph having other children, James being one of them, he watched his brother, Jesus, throughout much of his life, most of his life, actually. And what's interesting about James is that he did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. He watched Jesus perform miracles. He watched Jesus change people's lives. He lived with this perfect guy, Jesus, and James didn't believe it until Easter, until the resurrection. And then James became a passionate, radical follower of Jesus. He's known as one of the first elders of the church, and James, he was serious about Jesus. It just took him a while to get there. And it once again shows the significance of Easter. Now, historical accounts talks about how James died, and it's interesting because he's writing to James, or to the people that are being dispersed. There's 12 tribes. And so coming out of Jerusalem, there's intense persecution happening. And if you think of it, James was written around 40 AD. There's nothing before 40, so it's not, you know, 1040, it's not 2040, 40. So it's not that far after Jesus dying on the cross, the resurrection. The same people that understood James saw it, believed it, heard it, and were a part of the resurrection. And so on this process, we have thousands of people in Jerusalem being dispersed. They're going different direction because the persecution is so intense. And he writes to them in the passage of Scripture that we're talking to today. It would have been a letter, and they would have written, they would have opened it in their homes, and read it, and then sent it to another house who was being sent around outside of Jerusalem because of the persecution. And what we're talking about today is struggles. And James talks about it in a way of facing various kinds of trials. James understood struggles. When he dedicated himself to Jesus, it was a struggle. The persecution was so intense that the religious leaders came to him and said, hey, if you don't stop, we're going to hurt you. And James says, I can't. I can't not. I've got to say what I know is true because of Easter. And so historical accounts say that they took him to the top of the temple. The religious leaders threw him off, and he fell, hoping that they would kill him, but it did not. And he laid there, continuing to talk about Jesus, continuing to urge this. It says in history that he said, Father, my Father in heaven, please forgive these guys. They don't understand what they're doing. The one guy took a club, hit James on the head, and he died. James understood struggles. If you don't have your Bible today, which I would encourage you to start bringing your Bible, you can follow on the screen, or if you're not a Bible, physical Bible person, maybe you have an app. I really encourage that we could start reading it. And here's the reason why I'd encourage it. If you're like me, it's really easy to read the screen. That's easier. But I do not get out as much as having something else to look at. And so there might be just an opportunity a verse shouts out to you. So if you have a way to mark it in your phone or a physical Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, I will gladly buy you one, two, or 15. I will get you a Bible. And so I would recommend you start bringing your Bibles. Here we are. James chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. Verse 1 basically says, talks it's James to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He says, greetings. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I'm just going to warn you that the scripture passage that we're talking about today is totally countercultural. It's not what we want to hear. It's not what we like to hear. And to be honest, it's a lot harder to hear. Here's the reason why. There's a very manipulative, destructive theology that's happening within the church today. And it's happening mainly in the United States. It's because we've been so blessed, but we sometimes will observe, listen, and apply what's called is the prosperity gospel. The prosperity theology is simply this, that if you have enough faith, God will always give you good health, lots of wealth, and you're just going to be happy. The prosperity gospel is rooted in our lives, and at times it's taking over the church in a very destructive way. Let's just be clear, it is absolutely unbiblical. Absolutely unbiblical. We have hope, yes. We're not guaranteed wealth. We're not guaranteed health. We're not even guaranteed to be happy. We're guaranteed hope. We have the greatest hope ever. You know, one of the greatest things that I believe that we have within the gospel of Jesus Christ right now is actually the internet. You can go online and you can listen to preachers and you can hear truth. But maybe it's not all truth. And I believe well-intentioned people are sometimes being tricked by pastors that are either on the internet or on the TV. These pastors are giving truths of hope that is not grounded in God's word. It's grounded in what we call the prosperity gospel. Although there's a pastor called John Piper, who I would say theologically is the greatest, in my opinion, theologian of this time. And he gives six indications of how we can find out if someone is a part of the prosperity gospel. First, the absence of normalcy of suffering, the absence of the doctrine of suffering. If you think that we shouldn't suffer, then why wouldn't the disciples or James or Paul not suffer? Like, they should have had it very easy. Because, I mean, they gave up everything and just followed Jesus. And so if you know the life of most of the disciples, almost all of them were martyred. They were either boiled in oil, tortured, persecuted. The disciples lived a terrible life. One that, I'll be honest, most Americans would not even want to live because of their dedication to Jesus. So the doctrine of suffering. The second is this, the absence of clear and prominent doctrine of self-denial. Putting off the old life, accepting the new life of being a servant of God, of Jesus Christ. The third, the absence of serious study of Scripture. Well, lots of times they like to just apply verses that sound great, but they miss out on verses that can impact in ways they don't want to impact. Number four, the absence of dealing with tensions in Scripture. Number five, church leaders who have exorbitant lifestyle. Listen, if your pastor standing before you had a very nice jet, was wearing $5,000 suits, I saw pastors wearing $5,000 pair of shoes. Come on, it's craziness. But what they do is they give enough truth that people send them money, and they're duped by these, I'll call them jokers. Number six, there's a prominent self and marginalization of the greatness of God. So they lift up themselves and who they are, and they minimize the greatness of who God is. So fair warning, if you are listening to a pastor online, I would just recommend you look up Prosperity Gospel and just make sure that they're not feeding you lies, little tricky lies that sometimes our tickling ears want to hear. Think of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's the prosperity gospel shouting out to us. Listen, I love you and I want to protect you. And I think we have to be very careful of the deceitfulness of some of the trickery that's happening. And in America today, we are definitely more concerned about our comfort and less concerned about the reality of the gospel. And we believe that when we're not experiencing comfort, something's wrong. The reality is, the Bible is very clear that when we are not experiencing suffering, something is wrong. If we're not going through trials and difficulties, something is wrong. The Bible is so countercultural, and it's not sometimes even what we want to hear. And so today, out of love, you're going to hear maybe stuff that you don't want to hear. And I would love to be in the journey of walking through with you and helping you understand the truth of God's word. So what difference does Easter make in our struggles? We're going to walk through James. We're finally getting into the sermon. First, we got to expect adversity. Verse 2 said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of various kinds. Does it say if you face trials? Maybe facing trials? No. When it happens, it's guaranteed you're going to face trials. And some say, well, what are the various kinds? Does that mean I could face trials in my marriage? Yes. Check. Various. What about in my finances? Yes. Spiritually? Yes. Is it going to be a long time or at a short time? Yes. It could be both. Could it be personal? Yes. Could it be our health? Yes. We're going to face trials. In the midst of all the trials, I think it's helpful to remember 1 Peter 4:12. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. It shouldn't be strange at all when we face the suffering or the trials that many of us are enduring right now. And I hope through today you hear something of hope. That's where James is writing when he says, the first part, consider it pure joy. Let's have an understanding of this. James is not saying, yes, you get to go through terrible things. It's not the trial that we're going through that is joyful. That wouldn't make any sense. Clearly, some of you are in the midst of a trial or are soon to be entering a trial. And the trial in itself is difficult, hard, and we want to get out. But what we can have is an understanding that through the trial, we can have joy. We can understand what God is doing through the trial to help us understand a little bit more of the life we're in. I think it's helpful for us to understand the God of this universe, who's been before time, has an understanding way before our time. I'm 41 years old, and sometimes I think I should be God. God, stop this from happening. Why is someone like Bonnie, who we prayed for, going through what she's going through? I don't get that. I'll just be totally honest. I don't get it. Bonnie is an amazing person. I should go through what she's going through, not Bonnie. She's amazing, if you know Bonnie. So how do you choose joy? We're going to walk a couple verses forward and understand it, but here's some biblical concepts that we can relate to. First of all, remember your identity in Jesus. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. That is so awesome. We don't fully understand this, but we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Think of the sufferings Jesus went through, all for the intent of glory. Romans 8:28, we can trust in the goodness and the sovereignty of God. So difficult to trust the sovereignty of God when we are going through difficulties. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Then we can look to the future. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory far outweighs them all. The struggles that you are in right now, the struggles that if you're a follower of Jesus, you will be in sometime in your future. We have a hope because of our future. That hope we have because of our future is what makes us different. That's the significance of Easter played out. Listen, different people are going to go through different struggles. Sometimes we might look at them and say, I don't know how they can even survive. But when we're a follower of Jesus, we have hope in the end. When there be no more struggles, there'll be no more tears. Oh, man, that will be amazing. James 1:3 through 4 says it's faith forming, right? It continues on by saying, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, produces this grit. Let perseverance finish its works so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, strange as it may seem, one of the primary purposes of us being shaken by the suffering is to make our faith much more unshakable. Just think of the understanding of when we've gone through difficulties, if you can look back in your life, and if you're in your 20s here today, you look and you think, I don't have much suffering. Well, that's right, because you might have been through much. I'm in my 40s, I can look back at some suffering. If you're in your 60s, you can look back and easily see suffering. In 80, it's like you can shout from the rooftop of all the difficulties you've been through in life. So as we look back, the suffering develops this perseverance. It's really interesting because faith, it's like a muscle. And if you know anything about working out, it's this idea that as you're working out or you're working on the farm, you're actually tearing into your muscles. And then it builds more muscles and you keep tearing them a little bit to create stronger muscles. Well, our faith is the same way. And as we are being, as we're being shaken and going through difficulties, we gain this strength and this muscle that comes from God and God alone. You know, and a perfect example of this would be seeing the life of Paul. Paul went through strengthening like crazy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, we do not want you to be uninformed. He's shouting, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened. There was a reason why this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Do you get what Paul just said there? I go through the sufferings so that I can find out it's not me that can handle this. It's all God. Think of Psalm 73, where it says, whom have I have in heaven but you? And on earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, when you get to the place that God is all you have, we finally understand and realize that God is all we need. When you get to the place that you realize that God is all you have, you finally realize that God is all you need. And sometimes through our struggles, through the various trials of life, those type of things happen, and we realize that God is all we need. And then James talks to us about something, and it's seeking wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So when do we need wisdom the most? Is during these various trials. And during the times of our lives that we do not have an answer, we've sought, we've tried, we've called doctors, we've called employers, we've tried to figure out a relationship, we've gone to counseling, we've done everything we can do, and we need what here is called divine wisdom. It's the only wisdom that can come from God. It's what we don't have, but he generously wants to give it to us. This picture of generosity or the generous kind that God wants to give us, if you could picture a mug being poured up here and it's just being overflowed and the mug is just flowing, just full of water, and it just continues to have the generosity in it. That's the kind of wisdom God wants to give to us, but he gives a warning here. If you're not willing to accept it, you're what the Bible would call more of an immature follower of Jesus. You just can't handle the truth. And so he's dividing a line here in those that get tossed to and fro. Ephesians talks about it in Ephesians 4:14, like infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We kind of circle back to the idea of prosperity gospel and how it's just constantly these subtle truths are being sent to us as followers of Jesus. So as we seek wisdom, know that God wants to give it and heap it upon us. But he only wants to give it to those who are ready to handle it. And so as you seek after the wisdom of God, know that it's good and it's right and it's truth. So how can we apply this today? What do we do in that when we know this truth, and maybe we've been tricked a little bit, and to be honest, we're struggling with the trial we're in, or we're struggling with the concept of what we've said from day one, that, hey, we don't just come to church, we are the church. We're learning what it means to put our feet on the ground and be the church everywhere we go. The reality is, I believe that many of you will be facing, if you're not facing trials right now, even more if you're trying to figure out what God wants you to be. It's just how it works. The difficulties in our marriages, within cancer, within our jobs, within life will just pour. And sometimes we get to a breaking point and we say, enough is enough. I need help. Jesus is going to say, I'm here. I'm here. And that's why we can count it joy. Because we know God is working through us to make us who he wants us to be. One of the things in our last leadership team meeting, we talked about Is this the concern that we have of just the trial or the difficulty of MPS campus and the setup and tear down? How do we continue to have setup and tear down in a healthy way? How do we get more people involved? And people are like, I don't want that. And I would just encourage you to think through how difficult it is to be called a follower of Jesus. And sometimes it means we have to help in ways that is a journey to help. And it might even be helping in ways that we're just not, we want it just easy. And so I'll say this, that today if you're here and you'd rather just have a really easy ministry, this probably isn't the right place for you. And I hate to say that, but we're not seeking easy. I'm just telling you, we're putting our feet on the ground. We're drawing a line in the sand, and we're going for it. We are going to ask for perseverance through these trials. God's building some faith in people that we're excited about. So if you want it easy, there's lots of great churches that you can just go and sit. This might not be the one. But if you're in the process, it's the one. That's the unique thing about God and his timing. And if I could just share with you several testimonies, I think of the Eicher family sitting right down front. The process of them at a church, striving to see what God has done in their lives, leaving the church, and they will say, because they were lazy Christians. Fair? They're shaking their head this way. They went and they just wanted to go sit because they were tired. They were weary. And God just started tugging at their heart. If you knew the heart of this family and how they're trying to make impact in the Scottsdale community and beyond, man, they are doing amazing stuff. But it's a trial. It's not just the easy stuff. And so we are in a journey together, and we want you to be praying about this journey. So let me encourage you with this. Hebrews chapter 12. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you are suffering right now, you're in a various type of trial. Understand that the sovereign God of the universe is fully aware. He's fully aware. And he's asking us to count it as joy, knowing that we're working through a process to become what he wants us to be. And that is not easy. It is not easy at all. And if you want to hear a message on hope, this is it, but not easy. If you want to hear a message on just perfect living, this is not it. But there's a hope that we can have because of the gospel that people are longing for. And I believe the ears that hear it today, God wanted you to hear it. Some of you might be in a trial that you do not know how to get out, and you really need help. Ask. That's why we do small groups. It's why we are trying to learn what it means to be the church daily. Some of you might say, I don't know how to ask. Okay, go to the Connect room and just walk in and start crying. Just some of you say, I don't cry. Okay, look mean. Like, do something, and we'll find you. Don't leave. Be stubborn about seeking help. Because listen, you walk outside the doors, there's a world out there that just wants to destroy us. And it's looking for ways to discourage us. But we are here to do it together. All because of the cross. All because of Easter. Today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you know you're not, but you've been seeking. And you're ready to put the line in the sand and say, I'm in. I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm going to trust God's word. But Jesus, when he taught about it, made it very simple to repent and believe. And it's this idea of just understanding that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You're going to ask God to come up, be a part of your life. He's going to start transforming you in a way that you will never understand. Doesn't mean you'll be wealthy. You might lose it all. Doesn't mean you are healthy. You might get terrible news. Doesn't even mean you'll be happy. But you will have joy and hope that's completely misunderstood. There's a peace that will be given you that passes all understanding. And so if you're on that journey, I just ask that you just take some time to talk to God as we close with just a couple more songs. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege that it is to go through trials. Man, do we hate it? Man, do we not want it? But God, I'm thankful that the book of James doesn't cheat the truth. He speaks right into it. Thank you for the life he lived. Not just something he wrote down, but it was a life that he lived. So God, some of us today are in a deep trial. We're going through things that we do not know. We're lost in it. We haven't even considered counting it joy because we're just deep in it. So God, as your word says, I ask that we can ask for wisdom and you'll generously give it to us. It's a promise. It's not a doubt. It will happen. So when we receive this wisdom for the difficulty we're in right now, God, allow us to be able to take it and hear it and apply it. Some of us might just need a little bit more chance to talk it through and just some encouragement. So we can't know everyone here. And so I pray that they're bold enough to just simply say, I need help, so we can help them through the process. Lord, it's going to be all you. And so in all things, we're going to give you the praise. We do pray for Bonnie this coming week. Strengthen her. Allow her to run the race well. Lift the pain. Give her joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining all of us here at the campuses of Charter Oak Church with the recent message series, What Difference Does Easter Make? We hope you'll come back next week as we kick off a new series. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church, its campuses, or the many activities going on now and throughout the summer, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless and hope to see you next week.